Morning and welcome to services here at Zion. Glad you could brave the thunderstorm outside and get inside. Plenty of umbrellas making their way in the front door and the back door this morning. Our order of service is found printed in the bulletin as usual. Just one thing before we go, remember that this Tuesday at 7 p.m. is the voters meeting. I'll mention that again after the service is over, but I want to point out this Tuesday, 7 p.m., voters meeting here in the auditorium at church. Let's go ahead this morning and turn to our opening hymn, Come My Soul with Every Care.
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, July 24th, 2022 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in the production of this broadcast are Casey Jones, Rachel Welker, and Brian Featon. Our organist is Heather Heibreiter. The opening hymn is number 779, Come My Soul with Every Care, hymn number 779, found in the Lutheran Service Book. Kleinschmidt are sponsoring the flowers on the altar to the glory of God and loving memory of Barbara Kleinschmidt's birthday on July 20th. Josh, myself, and Kayla Welker are sponsoring the radio broadcast to the glory of God, just in honor of all of God's many blessings.
Let us please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment, but I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, And instead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We continue now with our responsive psalm. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise.
I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word.
On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased.
All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth.
And they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord.
For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me.
The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands.
Glory be to God on high. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, let your merciful ears be attentive to the prayers of your servants, and by your word and spirit teach us how to pray, that our petitions may be pleasing before you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. the Old Testament reading for this, the seventh Sunday after Pentecost, from the book of Genesis, the 18th chapter, beginning at the 20th verse. And then the Lord said, "Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great and their sin is very grave, I will go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know." So the men turned from there and went towards Sodom, but Abraham still stood before the Lord. Then Abraham drew near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare the 50, spare it for 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked fare? Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" Then the Lord said, "If I find 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered and said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." And again he spoke to him and said, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." And then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." He said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak again, but this once. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." And the Lord went his way when he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. This is the word of the Lord. The Catechetical Review. In regards to the office of the keys, what is the office of the keys?
The office of the keys is that special authority which Christ has given to his church on earth to forgive the sins of repentant sinners, but to withhold forgiveness from the unrepentant as long as they do not repent.
The epistle reading from Colossians, the second chapter, beginning at the 6th verse. "Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head and the rule of all and authority. In him also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and the authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that is from God. This is the word of the Lord. We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 3rd chapter. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Having heard the Gospel of our Lord, we confess our common Christian faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. This time, if there are any children who'd like to come forward for a children's message, please do so. Good morning, children. So it's raining outside today. It got a little dark. It might even be done by now. I don't know. But water, that's important for us today. It's a very important thing. But I was thinking, you know, it's not going to be too much longer before school starts, right? Maybe. Well, it's not going to be too much longer before school starts. And when we head back to school, we have lunch at school. And as I was thinking about lunch at school, I was thinking about getting hungry. I'm hungry now, but that's not important. I was thinking about lunches when I was in school. And every once in a while, you get something in your school lunch that you don't particularly care for. And you look over at your friend whose family packed him a lunch or her a lunch. And there's something there. You're like, ooh, that's good. You ever traded at lunch? Never traded. Have you ever traded anything? Oh, come on. Look, I know there's big brothers and little brothers here, big sisters and little sisters here. I am 100% certain a big brother or big sister tried to get a little brother or little sister to trade Halloween candy. Oh, really? Look, I'm a big brother. I'm a big brother. And I'm telling you. This is what big brothers do. They go and they see their little brother with a big Snickers or something like that. And then they bring out this little pack of Smarties, the big brother does, and says, "Let's trade. I'll trade you my Sweet Tarts or Smarties for your Snickers." And a little brother says, oh no, that's not a good deal. And the big brother says, but there's 10 in here and you only have one. If you trade with me, you'll get 10. They talk their little brother into it. That's not nice. I think sometimes, somewhere along the way, most of us have traded something with somebody else. A pencil, a little pen, you know, something like that. Well, when we see Jesus getting baptized, he's trading. There's a trade going on. Now, when Jesus is baptized, he is taking up his mission. Like, publicly, he was born as the Savior of the world, and he's taking up his mission as the Savior of the world. But something fantastic happens in baptism. When Jesus was baptized, he takes on himself the sin of the world. He's starting the trade. He takes on himself the sin of the world. And when you were baptized, he took all your sin. Now that's pretty fantastic. That is absolutely wonderful. Jesus, the true Son of the only God, came to earth to pick up all our ugh, all our rebellion, all our telling God, I don't want to be your child. I don't want to be from you. I'll do what I want. And God said, I'm going to scoop that up. I'm going to take it all up, and I'm going to put it on my Son. And he's going to pay the price for all of that. But the trade hasn't all done yet. Because Jesus was true God, he could pay the price for all sins of all people who ever lived. And he could be perfect in our place. If we could be perfect, we could only be perfect for us. But we can't be perfect. Jesus could be perfect, and he was perfect for all the people who ever were born and whoever will be born. And when you were baptized, at the baptismal font, God washed away your sin. Jesus took it from you, and then he traded you everything he earned. All the good he got from his heavenly Father, all the good that he earned for us by his perfect life and his innocent death, he gives to you. It is the great exchange. Jesus takes our sin on himself, and Jesus gives you his perfectness, his holiness, his righteousness. It's a great exchange for us. For without it, we couldn't be saved. It is so absolutely wonderful. So when we come here to church, what is the first thing? One of the first things we do after we sing the hymn, what do? Confession and absolution. We say, I am a poor, miserable sinner. We are taking our sins and we're giving them to God. We are taking them, and God takes them off of us, unburdens us from them, and wipes us clean yet again. And then he bestows upon us the assurance that our sins are forgiven. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, I forgive you all your sins. I'm bringing a message from God to you. And the message from God to you is, your sins are forgiven. There is wonderful, glorious, spectacular, invisible things happening in this building every Sunday, every time we come together and meet, every time we come before our Lord and receive his forgiveness, his holiness, and his righteousness. So when somebody asks you, who are you? You can say, I am a Christian. I belong to the Lord. I am baptized. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the gift of holy baptism. We thank you for the gift of taking our sin from us and giving unto us Christ's perfectness and his holiness and his righteousness. May we ever live in grace and peace towards our neighbor and in true faith and love toward you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming down. If you would, please return to your seats and we continue with the singing of the next hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 909, Christ Has Made the Sure Foundation. Hymn number 909, found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Sermon text this morning from today's gospel reading. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and yet you come to me. But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. Thus far the words of our text. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, last week we closed out our short journey survey of the Old Testament as we looked at Daniel and the night he spent in the lion's den, that night in the lion's den foreshadowing for us the time that Jesus spent in the grave. And Daniel coming out of the lion's den alive, again foreshadowing Jesus coming forth alive from the grave. Today we begin to look at the New Testament. We point towards that very high point in human history when God's promised Savior was finally born and came into his world to begin setting his creation right once again. But the world that Jesus entered was a world far different than the world that Daniel had lived in. First, Jerusalem was no longer a deserted wasteland. As we read in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, the exiled Jews were permitted to return and rebuild their city. A second temple was built where the first temple had stood, and worship and sacrifice had been restored in Jerusalem. The time between the Old Testament and the New Testament was filled with political, cultural, and religious turmoil. In the year 63 BC, the Roman Empire moved into the area where the Jewish people lived and claimed rule over the land of Israel. And about 60 years after that, the time was right for God to fulfill his ancient promise that he had made to Adam and Eve. So God sent an angel to a virgin named Mary. We're very familiar with Gabriel speaking to Mary. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and you will bear a child, a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be called Great, and he will be the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. God's Son was miraculously conceived of the Holy Spirit within the Virgin Mary. When you and I were conceived, our parents handed down their sinful nature to us, a sinful nature that travels from generation to generation. But since Mary was a virgin and Jesus was not conceived by a human father, Jesus does not have original sin, and he is not contaminated with our sinful nature. As a true full human being, Jesus was able to submit himself under the law as our substitute. Jesus earned heaven for us by his life of perfect obedience, and being a true man, his humanity enabled him to endure the punishment that you and I deserve as our substitute. When Mary became pregnant, she was betrothed to a man named Joseph. And betrothal in those days was kind of like a cross between our engagement and marriage. Like an engaged couple, they lived apart. They did not have marital relations until after their actual wedding banquet was over. And like a wedded couple, Joseph and Mary were legally, though, husband and wife. And during their betrothal, Joseph found that Mary was pregnant. Matthew tells us Joseph's reaction. Joseph, being a just man, was unwilling to put her to shame, and he resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered all these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, for what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did just as the angel commanded him. And Luke tells us how Jesus came to be born in Bethlehem instead of Mary's hometown of Nazareth. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And Joseph went up from Galilee to the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and line of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. That fulfilled the prophecy of the prophet Micah, that a ruler would come out of Bethlehem, a ruler whose origins were from of old, from everlasting to everlasting. Jesus would likely have been raised in Bethlehem and known as Jesus of Bethlehem if the wise men had not come from the east. Following a special star, they brought precious gifts to the child who had been born king of the Jews, and that's when wicked Herod found out about what was going on and sent people to kill the baby boys in Bethlehem. Warned by an angel, Joseph took his family and fled for a time to Egypt. After Herod's death, they returned to raise Jesus in Nazareth. That's why Jesus is known as Jesus of Nazareth. As he matured, Jesus learned Joseph's trade, the trade of a carpenter. He did that work through his early adult years, and he knew what it was to labor and to work with his hands. And when Jesus was about 30 years old, it was time for him to begin his public ministry. The Holy Spirit prompted him to go to the Jordan River, where the Baptist was carrying on his ministry. God had raised up John the Baptist to prepare the Jews for their Savior's coming. John warned the Jews of their sin and of their need for a Savior. He baptized them to wash away their sins and told them the King was among them and the kingdom of God was at hand. And when Jesus came to John to be baptized, John tried to prevent him, saying, "No, no, I need to be baptized by you, not you by me." John knew that Jesus had no sins to wash away. But Jesus assured John that this was God's plan. So John consented and baptized Jesus. Now, the baptism of Jesus is an extremely important part of God's plan. But it wasn't an isolated event in Jesus' life. Jesus' baptism is connected to his coming sacrifice on the cross. Twice when Jesus speaks of his coming, twice when speaking to his disciples, Jesus connects his baptism to the cross. The first came when two of his disciples, James and John, the sons of thunder, you remember that, asked of him, "Lord, grant this petition for us that we would be able to sit one at your right hand and one at your left hand when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus says, "You don't know what you're asking. Can you be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" You know, of course, foolishly they said yes, and unknowingly they actually would be baptized as Jesus is talking about, because both of them would give their lives in service with the gospel. Then came, "Well, can you drink the cup that I am going to drink?" And when Jesus says that, he's pointing forward ahead to his crucifixion. Just hours before his arrest, Jesus prays to his Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet nevertheless not what I will, but what you will." The cup and the baptism Jesus mentions to James and John were one and the same. His bitter suffering and death upon the cross. The point was repeated a second time that Jesus mentioned his future baptism. "I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished." You see, we cannot understand Jesus' baptism properly unless Jesus' baptism is connected to his suffering and his death on the cross. John the Baptist helps us here. This is one of the most fantastic points of the gospel account and the gospel story. After baptizing Jesus, while John is standing by the Jordan River with John's own disciples, and he sees Jesus walking along the bank, John looks at Jesus. The Baptist looks at Jesus and, I'm assuming, points at him and says, "There, look over there. That one, that man is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He knew what Jesus' mission was. In Jesus, baptism is ours. And there in baptism, God made a great exchange. Jesus entered that water, pure, spotless, sinless. What happened to us when we entered the baptismal water? We entered baptismal water sinful, covered with sin. In the Jordan River, Jesus Christ took upon himself his mission to redeem the world. In the Jordan River, Jesus Christ took upon himself the sin of the world. That is, my sin, your sin, the sin of every single human being. Not only did he take the sin into himself, he took the guilt for that sin into himself and upon himself. So he bore the sin and the guilt of sin. We came out of the baptismal water spotless and pure. Jesus came out of the baptismal water carrying our sins. And where did He carry those sins to? He carried those very sins to the cross, where He completed His baptism and our baptisms by suffering the punishment we deserve. And He suffered that in our place. And in our place, He satisfied God's wrath over sin, and He forever destroyed our sins. And since Jesus was purified by the waters of baptism forever, we come out of that water pure and spotless, wearing Jesus' holiness like a white robe. And we're going to connect that white robe of baptism to our own deaths and our own funerals. Because we are in Christ. We can never separate Jesus' baptism from His cross. We cannot separate our own baptisms from Jesus' cross. And the Apostle Paul makes this abundantly clear in Romans chapter 6. It is words we say at every single funeral here. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And here is the wonderful, oh, the glorious part, the fantastic, what St. Paul, through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tells us. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we have died with Him in our baptisms, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. We have died with Christ. We shall rise again as Christ rose again on that day when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ appears in glory. Oh, what a precious and glorious thing your baptism is. What a wonderful thing your baptism is. To go back to that font, to look upon it and say, there I was made a child of my Heavenly Father. There I was claimed as an heir of salvation. There my Father laid His hands upon me and drew me to Himself. There I know I am saved. Yes, the cross and the empty tomb belong to you in Jesus Christ. Another thing about Jesus' baptism, and Matthew shares what happened right after Jesus had been baptized and was coming up out of the water. Behold, the heavens were open. And saw the Holy Spirit descend upon Him as a dove. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. The mission that Jesus was to embark on, the work that Jesus was about to do, was well pleasing in the sight of God the Father. The descent of the Holy Spirit at Jesus' baptism is the reason we call Jesus the Christ. Christ is the Greek translation of the Hebrew word Messiah, both of which mean the Anointed One. Jesus Christ was anointed by the Holy Spirit to be Savior of the world. And God equipped Him with what He needed to carry on His ministry and take away the sins of all humanity. At your baptism, the Holy Spirit descended upon you as well, making your own body His temple. He lives in you. He lives with you, creating and sustaining faith through His word and sacraments, that we may be connected to Jesus Christ and live with Him forever. Each of us is an anointed one. You are a little Christ. In other words, you are a Christian. And one final thing happened when our Lord was baptized. That voice declared, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. God the Father declared His approval of every thought, word, and action of Jesus, His Son, through His entire earthly life. And in baptism, God has credited that perfect, spotless life to you. Through faith, God's words are true for you, too. You are God's beloved Son. You, in faith, are God's beloved daughter, with whom He is well pleased for Jesus' sake. We look forward then to that great day when our Jesus, when our Christ, when our King, when Jesus will return forever and remove all sin and all of its devastating effects, including death from us and from all His creation forever. And we'll remake all of this to be brand new. What a day that will be. What a glorious day we have to look forward to. The day of our Lord's return, the resurrection of all flesh, and the glory in His glory. It will be wonderful. That leads us to say, come Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. Now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now all rise for the singing of the offertory.
You have been sharing in the morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning over the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM, or also on Facebook Live as well as the internet at www.zlclinc.org. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from ages 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. If you would like more information concerning our school, please contact the school office at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
We rise for our prayers. Let us pray for the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for fulfilling the promise made to Adam and Eve by sending your Son Jesus to redeem us all from the curse and the fall into sin. In his baptism, he took up the mantle of his mission and took upon himself the sin of the world. Keep we, your people, ever steadfast in the true faith, so that with spirit-given faith we ever hold fast to the gospel truth that Jesus has taken upon himself our sin, and in exchange he has given us his righteousness. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, as our congregation meets this week to act on the earthly affairs of the congregation, We thank you for the many who give of their time and their talents so that the good news of your saving work may abide among us to the salvation of the souls. Bless and prosper the many facets of the congregational life here at Zion. Our worship, our Sunday school, our Bible classes, our day school, confirmation classes, may they all be to the glory of your holy name. And when we have done all that we can do, may we simply confess that we are unworthy servants. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Jesus, hear our prayers for the sick and the suffering, those among us afflicted with the infirmities of this mortal life. Bestow on all of us faith that trusts you when our paths are dark, and give to those hurting in so many ways healing in due measure and peace in the right season. Lord, in your mercy. Ruler of nations, God of all creation, we ask you to be with us as human civilization is beset once again with war and strife and bloodshed. As war continues to rage in the Ukraine and in other countries around the world, we see a foreshadowing of your divine judgment. Boldly, we ask you to make hearts around the world to end this senseless warfare and violence so that peace might return for a season. Curb also the violent and rebellious hearts in our own nation. Bring we as a nation around to respect for our leaders, honor for those who protect us, and a desire to think of others before we think and act in our own self-interest. May we do this also that people come to see your might and praise your name. Lord, in your mercy. These and all other petitions we bring before your throne of grace and mercy as we pray the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Merciful God, we humbly implore you to cast the bright beams of your light upon your church, that we, being instructed by the doctrine of the blessed apostles, may walk in the light of your truth and finally attain to the light of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is number 727 on Eagle's Wings, hymn number 727 found in the Lutheran Service Book. Thank you.
Please be seated. Just a few post-service notes. Look in your Zion's Light for all the activities coming up. Zion's Stewardship Committee is going to be hosting an ice cream social on August 21st from 4 to 7 in the auditorium. So that's something to look forward to and put on your calendar. We do have this Tuesday a voters meeting here at the church. It'll be over in the auditorium at 7 p.m. There's several things on the docket to be discussed and brought before the congregation. Remember, every member of the congregation who is confirmed and over 18 years or old or over is automatically a voting member of the congregation and welcome to and invited to come to the voters' meetings. This Tuesday, this quarter, some of the things we're going to be going over are we're making some proposed changes to Zion's Constitution and its bylaws, and what the congregational president, Mr. Meyer, is doing. We're going to bring those before the congregation now. They won't be voted on for another quarter until October. And then after the October meeting of those changes that are approved by the voters, we'll then go to the district to be ratified and looked over by the district office to make sure any of our changes don't conflict with the Synod's constitution or anything like that. So that's important for everybody to be here, listen to, and hear to. We'll be having staffing ratifications at the school, talking about that. And, of course, there's the regular quarterly board reports and information that is brought before our congregation. So please remember, Tuesday, 7 p.m., auditorium, quarterly voters meeting. Also, this week, later this week, I'll be taking some vacation time. So if there are any pastoral emergencies, Pastor Johnson here and Pastor Olander have graciously agreed to make any calls or any visits or hospital calls that need to be made during the time that I'm out of on vacation time. May the Lord bless all of you. May He bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. Thank you.